Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
So as we dive into this concept of fit for life, I want you to go on a journey with me. Some things I may say, I will not jump in a rabbit hole, I hope. I've trained myself all week not to jump in rabbit holes, but I also want you to know, do not be offended what I have to say today, because I am going to talk about fit for life in concepts that we know, which is really physicality, right? We know physical fitness much easier than we know other facets of fitness. So if I say something within a fitness realm, do not let me offend you, right? And what I mean by that is I'm just going to simply use some very layman's terms. Most of you know my life in many ways that I've lived in a performance type metric my entire adulthood career, right? Like whether it was wearing a uniform or training individuals or going back to the government to train a U.S. force type concept, or now back where I do, which is to get concepts of performance across the entire spectrum of the government, right? Like how do we get this actually to happen? So I really enjoy performance and I really enjoy the concepts of fitness. And what I want us to start today off of, I want us to get two foundations out of the way. One, the first one is going to be, what are the pillars of fitness areas that we put in our lives? And I say you, I'm putting this on you, because there's some at play here. I do believe there's some at play where you can get a little more finite, or what we would call kind of a micro or macro big picture, right? For instance, right now, some of us have probably seen these little flash things go away that the Army has got a new combat fitness test. The Army built their mantra on that, hey, we have a spiritual fitness, we have a physical fitness, we have a mental fitness, we have a nutritional wing, and we also have a sleep wing. That's the five legs. Coming up, one of my places that I worked at in my life, I got to teach martial arts in the Marine Corps when it was just kind of coming, and we were built on three disciplines of fitness. It was called physical, mental, and character disciplines, or fitness, right? It was these pillars that our program was built on. I worked for an individual, and if he would, to this day, probably one of the greatest impactful mentors in my life, his name was Joe Shusko. And Joe used to talk about the fact of whatever the pillars of fitness are in your life, they create a leg of a stool, right? Just like this one right here. If I've got four pillars of life, right? If I have my spiritual focus, my physical focus, my mental focus, and then I kind of have this last one over here that in many times is what I put in my own world is emotional health, right? Or emotional fitness. If the four legs are balanced in your life, then you've got equal balance of that stool. If they are not, that stool is not balanced, then neither is your life. And it was always a great one, because he would bring out an even stool that was three legs. He'd bring out an uneven stool that was three legs. You can't deny the facet, right? And I'll break that down as we talk about what are your pillars of your life. If you're all in on physical fitness, but absolutely nothing in on spiritual fitness, your life is unbalanced. If I'm all in on physical fitness, but I am not balanced in mental health, your life is unbalanced, right? And it comes into a great thing. A great friend of mine, Dr. Frankel, always says, and him and I debate this all the time, does the mind follow the body or does the body follow the mind? Is mentality better than physicality, or is physicality better than mentality, right? And I say that really fast because I wanted you to answer it in your head, because he always gets to take me on a journey, which is the journey I want to take you on. You can physically be able, but you're mentally weak. You're capped. You can mentally be strong, but you are physically weak. You've capped. So what we figured is neither one of them follow the other. They actually run in parallels, that they have to balance each other all the way to the finish line. And there goes the stool. So what I challenge you with, number one, think about, take it beyond here, is the fact that what are the pillars in your life? Where are you finding the pillars of foundation of spiritual health, of mental health, of physical health, and emotional health? Part two, before we dive in, is I want us to understand what some definitions are, right? And again, whenever I speak, I always love to go to that good old thing called the dictionary, because it ain't my words. It's the dictionary's words. And we can all agree to agree. That's what we all view it as. Definitions of words, right? So we kind of create an equality of what these mean. So let's talk about what is spiritual, right? It says relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul. So when I talk about spiritual today, understand I'm talking about the inner work, the inner work. I'm not talking about the external of your spirituality. I'm talking about what's inside the heart, what's inside the soul. When we talk about spiritual fitness, right, the beliefs are the practices that strengthen your connection with God. So specifically today, we're going to talk about the inner work that we do to strengthen our relationship with God. And then my favorite definition, which is fitness, being physically fit, the quality of being able to fulfill a particular task. I'm going to read that again. Being physically fit, the quality of being able to fulfill a particular task. So when we're talking spiritual fitness, I'm talking about the inner work that allows us to fulfill tasks in our life, which we will dive deeper into. Understand, when you read the definition of fitness, it does not actually talk about your image. Image is a byproduct of fitness. Image is not actually the means why fitness was created. If you take it back, you can read it in the Bible. You can read it anywhere, right? We had to create a lot of realms of fitness because we got lazy. Understand that part, right? Like fitness back in the Bible. Hey, can you walk this over to your great uncle? Yeah, that's only 32 miles. I'll be right back. I got you. Right now, if I say, hey, can you take this to your great aunt? Yeah, man, let me hop in the vehicle real quick. I'll be there in about 10 minutes, right? We had to create certain facets of life because we got lazy and we got smart, right? So even when you read it back, fitness was meant to accomplish tasks. Biblical times, that was conflict. Think about it, right? Think about the stories of fitness, whether you got Samson, right, or David and Goliath, right? These things where physicality got brought up. Fitness was related to task, war. Fitness was related to tasks, take care of my family. Fitness was related to tasks, survive. Survivability is where we come into play, right? So fitness wasn't image bearing. That wasn't the reason, was so that I could have a six pack or great quads or great biceps. That was a byproduct of the work that I was putting in, which is what we're going to dive into. What is the byproduct of the inner work that you do amongst yourself, right? So we're going to just talk about the concept of the inner work that we do to draw closer to God. And we're going to talk about it in the fact of how do we actually get better? How do we actually get, per se, stronger in this concept of physical fitness? So that we understand that, hey, this is talking about fitness for life. The one area that spirituality differs from any other anchor of your leg is to understand the other anchors of your leg die when you die. When your earthly body leaves, does not matter what your biceps look like, you are dead. Does not matter how strong your mind was, you are dead. So all these things that involve blood flow go away, but the spirit, the soul, what's inside, lives forever. So the one concept about spiritual fitness that is so unique is you're talking about something that is not only for the modern and the present and in the body, but that actually lives forever, right? That our relationship with God here in the present is going to carry through the soul into the next. And it is the only anchor, no matter what anchors you put in your life, why spiritual fitness, why the inner work is so important is not only for here, but because it's beyond this life, right? And it's one of those things that is kind of hard to grasp because we all search fitness for different reasons, right? Like we've all gone on fitness journeys for different reasons. What's the number one? Bam, new year, new me, right? New year, new me. Got to get on it, right? Could be the fact of awful time in life. Hey, I'm going to look better. I just want to look better is what I want to do. Cool, right? Rock on, man. Mentally, I got to do something. I got to get into fitness. Cool, rock on, right? But then I always question it, like, man, when do we ever hear like, oh, man, my inside's rough. I need to get better in my spiritual game. Man, I'm struggling here. When am I doing the inner work? Right. And believe it or not, it's wild because now it's like this breakthrough where a lot of people are coming out with inner work that is becoming very popular. And we've introduced these other methods like, hey, you can get in a float tank. Anybody ever heard of a float tank? Right. It's so much salt in the water. You simply just float on top of it with complete sensory deprivation in an enclosed container. I bought my wife one for, man, what was that? Your birthday? Something like that, whatever it was. I bought her a section of float tank, and, you know, for her, it was like, oh, I got to get in water that other people have been in? Like, no, that's not cool, right? But anyway, but it's the whole concept, right, that you are deprived of your senses. It's just you in a concept of floating. And guess what the only kind of work you're going to be able to do inside of that when deprived senses? Boom, you and your thoughts. That's it, right? So there's a beauty to it. Some of us have heard of Wim Hof, right? Like, hey, let's do breath work. Let's get into some uber cold exposure. Well, why does cold exposure have something to do with inner work and all that? Because here's the thing. I tell people all the time. You could have had the most tragic thing happen to you in your life. Hop in 30-degree weather. See where your mind goes. it ain't gonna be the tragedy. It's gonna be 30 degree weather, right? So we've learned that these things are just really mental clipses to flip a switch to make you do work in other areas of your life. So as we dive in this morning, I think there are plenty of examples you can give of people who are and watch their work of spiritual fitness. But I think, you know, for modern day, I think Paul is just an easy one to grasp, right? Because he's like us. He was a guy who didn't know God, found God, lived a life for God. And if we think Paul sacrificed himself in jail and to beatings and everything else because of physicality alone, we're crazy. If we think that Paul was just mentally that strong that he could take the beatings and do it all and risk his life and give his life for God's gospel, right, for the message of Christ, we're crazy. What Paul had was inside. Now, I also believe Paul had physicality. I believe he had mental toughness. I believe he had emotional health. And I believe, but the biggest one, it was his spiritual fitness was fit for life because he knew it was greater than him. And he could handle that in the fact of, for us, we can usually handle it to a point, except when this happens, it's so bad in my life. Do I still have the faith that I had when everything was good in my life, right? Is my faith still as strong? When everything is rainbows and unicorns, I've got faith. When everything is at the bottom of the valley and life is terrible, do I still have the same faith? That spiritual fitness. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in 1 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to just take a dive in. They'll be on your screens right here. I'm coming up out of NIV this morning. Really NIV, ESV, even the Message give a very close verbiage to this section of passage. But understand right here, man, Paul is in the role of a mentor right here, which is also very important in your fitness life, right? Who is your mentor that is leading you through to show you the proper way? But Paul is in the role of a mentor right here, and he's speaking through many things. We're going to dive in. Chapter 4, verse 1 right here. It says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron." We already heard inner work right there, right? The conscience has been seared with a hot iron. "They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." So right there, God is telling you, you cannot be a vegetarian because God made it. I'm just kidding with you. That was for my oldest daughter if she was in this room. Continuing on, "because it is concentrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe." That is a very packed message right there with some very key points. When we talk about the concept of spiritual fitness, you heard some very pointed words that we can go back to, right? Words like nourished or trained, things that we can relate into the physical fitness concept. First thing I want to pull out, though, here, and specifically, right, you can go into to verse 7 right here, but is that spiritual fitness in the concept of being fit for life, it is personal. It is personal. I'm gonna take this to a workout concept, because I think most of us can grasp it this way. You can go online and follow any workout plan in the world. You can go online, click any nutritional plan in the world. A lot of them are free. Some of them you pay for right now, right? Most of us buy that as the gospel of workout or the gospel of nutrition. Let me remind you, your body was created unique to you, and there is not one nutrition nor workout plan that will make you find max potential. And if anybody would like to debate that, I'm all about it. Now, I'm just messing with you. So here's the thing, right? You are you. You are unique to you. You have been designed a certain way, unique to God. If you believe that a cookie-cutter program or a one-shop model or a one-stop shop is your way to fitness and the only way to fitness, right, you have just simply following along. Now, can it be a great introduction way to get yourself in the door of fitness and nutrition? 100%. Now, let's flip it to spiritual, because everything I just said can flip right over, right? You are unique. God has given you an incredible view, has given you an incredible gift inside of you, and you and you alone have that gift. If you believe you can only follow somebody else's path to spirituality, you will never unlock what was inside of you, because you follow somebody else's life plan, not your own, and not God, what God put in you. But Paul, can you follow somebody to get you in the door? 100%. It's called a spiritual mentor. It's called church. Church is not personal path to spirituality. Church is a togetherness of a body of Christ and those that maybe aren't of a Christ, where we can have a community together. And many of us find a mentor in this game. Like for me, right? When I come in, Dave has been around the block a year or two longer than me, right? Just a year or two. But what I know about Dave, by just the way he lives his life and the way he sends out text messages, right, is he is a great spiritual mentor in this church. So for me, I can latch on to Dave and see many things he's done to get me into certain grooves, but that's Dave's life. I still have to have my own life, right? And I have to find my own unique ways to this path. So when I say it's personal, right? When I say it's personal, you got to understand. Remember what it said up here, right? It says that you will labor, right? You will labor, right? And train, right? It's you that has to do the inner work. It will never be done for you. You must unlock this on your own accord, right? And this means it's got to work for you. Someone's path to fitness can get you going, but it will not necessarily be what works for you. What works for you to unlock the spiritual attainment, right? If you think about it, right, we go back to the Bible. How many times did we hear people, he went alone, he went to the upper room, he went away for 40 days, he went here for, it doesn't say they, it doesn't say we, it doesn't say the church, it says he, I. By himself, it was personal, his time to unlock what was being told inside of him. And here's the thing, if you can't cut out the noise, how can you listen to the singular, right? It's like being in a room when everybody's talking. You are giving somebody attention, but it is not undivided attention, because you are still, by human nature, grasping all the other sound waves that are blasting through. It is a personal piece right here. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, right? Like, hey, you know, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. For the life to come, for the spiritual attainment, the inner work. It's your inner work. It becomes the habits that you place within your life that sets you up for the inner work success, right? And I say that too is because it's funny, right? Physical fitness will get a routine out of this world. And I'm guilty. Let me raise my hand, right? This is not Hypocrite 101. This is I'm Guilty 101. I'm going to the gym at X time. Fact. I'm going to get my fitness on. You got what? Like work? Call? No, man. I'll talk to y'all after I'm done in the gym, man. I'm in the gym. Don't be messing with my time. It's my time. My wife and I work out in the same gym. We'll probably say two words to each other. That's her time. It's my time, right? So physical fitness will get this incredible time, this habit forming, but spiritual fitness, when you're praying, bro, in the car on the way to the gym, I'm going to probably get it in this afternoon. Now I'll probably get it in tomorrow, or later, right after dinner. So there's no habit, right? There's no actual format, right? So our gym routine's got a routine, a certain amount of time, but does our physical fitness have a set amount of time? We've seen some incredible people unlock some other things, right? And I'll tell you, one of the game changers of mine I've been trying to implement in my life is that wake up 30 minutes earlier, right? And it's my time that is uninterrupted in my house, right? I can get up, I can do my reading, I can do my prayer. And I will say the word meditation, please do not be scared by the word meditation. Meditation is prayer. It is your time in thought, in prayer. That works for me. Because once five kids get ripping and we're trying to roll out spiritualities, whoo, where are you coming in at, right? When's that inner work happening? I don't care if you got one, five, or zero, just getting out in life. It gets interrupted, right? So this personal choice is realize, man, what habits are you putting in place to find the inner work time, to be able to do the inner work time, right? And so it becomes this routine of where you're doing it, when you're doing it, how you're doing it. You should write it down. You should have it. Good Lord, our calendars, right? We can simply mark everything we want to mark in a Google Calendar. Hey, 05 to 06, spiritual fitness time. 06 to 07, get in the house time. I do not, that's a great thing. Regimenting a habit until it becomes normal, that is an incredible way. That's how we form habits, right? But where you're doing it, when you're doing it, how you're doing it, think about it. Again, I've already said it, but take it back to Jesus. Take it back to a Paul. He went away. He was down below when the disciples had to wake him. He was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He implemented times where it was his time away. Where it was happening at, how it was happening, right? This time of prayer could involve fasting. That inner work time that was done away, right? And that's what I would challenge you with when I say it's personal. It's personal. It is you. It is your time of uninterrupted time, of inner spiritual work. And you say, well, what's involved with that, right? It's your time of reading God's word. It's your time of prayer. It's your time to open yourself up. What is being said inside? Because many of us don't want to really talk about what's being said inside sometimes because it's not pretty. We don't really want people to know what's happening in here because that's not of what I show you, right? And I'll take it to the fitness side. Man, they look good. But then how are you eating a bag of Doritos? They don't show that, right? That Instagram, man, look at my 6 ounces of rice and green, right? We don't want everybody to see all of the behind the scenes work and all of what's inside to do. A relationship will involve tough conversation. That's fact. A good relationship will involve extremely tough conversation. That includes you and God. And that includes who you are sharing that spiritual journey with. And I say that because as you do the inner work, you're going to realize it's going to start to come out in other facets of your life, right? And as we will labor, words of the Bible, not mine, labor to get there. It's going to be work of the person of you to get there and attain this level of spiritual inner work where I start to realize what God actually had in store for my life. Because remember, as we said, leading into this, Sundays are an incredible time. It is not your pathway to unlock what's in you. It is a time to be together to unlock you, right? And mentors to help me get there and things to ignite me to find what's inside of me. And last that I'm going to leave you with in this first point before we move on, right, is what level of intensity are we attacking the fitness at? Huh? What level of intensity, right? Because as you know, in fitness, there's different levels. I could grab a weight and do 10 curls. I'm still okay. I could grab another weight and do 10 curls, but all of a sudden that 10th one is really hard. What did more work? Probably the one that was really hard, right? The level of intensity that you want to dive in on will continuously to progress, right? And then all of a sudden we start getting these things like I have repeatable processes and I'm able to measure something. I can see success in my life because of the inner work I'm doing. Now, today wasn't a good day, but it is a good day because I'm alive right now here to make a difference right here where I'm at, right? We start changing our verbiage based upon the inner work that we're doing because it's growing outward from us because what happened inside of us, right? And we can't contain it anymore. What once was may have been indoors that we inside we didn't want other people to see. Now we want others to see it because it's of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm excited to share my mentality and my inner works with you because I know it's positive, right? And there's the key, right? Just continuing to turn it. I don't believe God ever created a single person. I will firmly say this, and I can't find a script. I cannot imagine. I've met some pessimistic people in my life who I'm like, how in the world do you live life like that? I woke up, today's bad. What? You're breathing. What are you talking about? I lost my job, you know, and I'm not going to introduce names. It's not the stage, but there was a guy who did an incredible viral video. It's raining outside. Good. I lost my job today. Good. I'm broke. Good. Inner work, fix the mental work, right? What happens in here is going to connect here, and then it's going to start connecting out here, right? But if you're not fixing in here, this is a facade, right? The inner work is personal. You can't live it off somebody else's curtails. You can't live somebody else's story out because eventually what's inside of you will be shown. And until you open that bad boy up and feel all the pain and everything that it may have or all the joy, I don't know, it's you, the inner work's not being done, right? And I'm going to read you this, And boy, was I going to hold tight not to read this because I was like, ooh, this is rough, right? But I was reading a little piece on it. It was talking about a level of intensity within spiritual fitness. And it said, man, here's what the average American Christian might do in terms of spiritual regimen. I'm going to attend church 2 or 3 times a month. I'm going to pray at my meal for at least 5 seconds. And then I'm going to say a rope prayer before bed, right? I lay me down to sleep, pray, Lord, my son, to keep garment juice through the night, wait with the morning light. Amen. God bless spirituality, right? Hey, we're good tonight. Frankly, that level of intensity is practically worthless. It's as good so far as it goes, perhaps, but it won't produce spiritual fitness. Rather, it produces an illusion of faith and layers of spiritual flab that get in the way of being able to really move in the Holy Spirit. It's bold, but it's beautiful, and it's truthful, right? You start reading everybody else's prayers, man, where's your own? What you praying about? What he's praying about? That's cool. I mean, again, two joining in is great, but are you praying for you? Are you doing the work inside you? Are you living off of the same? Point number two, progression in increments, right? This is one of my favorite things to talk about. Progression is found in incremental dosages. You ain't gonna swing for the fence and hit a home run. We don't need home run hitters on the team all the time. We need singles too. We need doubles. We need triples. We need guys that strike out. We need guys that walk. What I'm saying is progression will come in incremental dosages. One of my buddy, and I hope I sent it right to him before he before I hopped up here today. He's out in Colorado Springs. I hope he's online this morning. Him and his buddy got an incredible company launching, and he says one of the other ones says this incredible thing. He says, man, you know what the difference between medicine and poison is? The dosage. You got to understand of what you're trying to attain, not to make yourself sick either. Why am I not there yet? I still got the levels of doubt. I'm not there yet. And we battle because we haven't hit the home run right away. I am not Paul on day one of my spiritual journey, right? No, we are Peter, right? Who we can walk it close, it gets stressful. God who? Never heard of him, right? Jesus who? Nah, I'm good, man. Progression in increments. Think about this. From the time you're born until the time your earthly body leaves, you should never stop growing in any facet of your life. Growth should be the goal at all times. And to think you've ever got it, or you've done it, or you're at the end of it all, I would contest, no, you're not. You just stop growing. You stopped opening up. You stopped doing the inner work. And that's the part of spirituality, because it opens you up to show you. You're allowing the Holy Spirit in to show you the areas where it's like, nah, keep growing. Keep going. Keep doing it. Because as we all know in this journey, as we take these small steps every day, right, we realize that oftentimes what God has given us in our lives as we do the inner work was never really for us. It's that person we randomly run into. That person that we just happen to talk to. And to me, that's where we show our growth, because you think about the conversation you probably would have had with said name individual 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. And then the conversation that you have with somebody, right? And you're like, man, I handled that totally different. Right? And it's wild, right? It's the incremental dosages of growth. And that's how we should view our spiritual life, right? Is we want to grow in incremental dosages. We will never understand the genius of God on day one. Fact. Never going to understand it on day 5,992 either. Fact. My wife sent me something this week. It was one of the videos, and a pastor was preaching. It was incredible. I mean, it had me like, so true, right? He was like, man, you're sitting over here looking in your book of life like, what in the world? This ain't chapter 16, because God's doing something in chapter 42. That you have no idea about, but you're trying to figure it. You're trying to attain genius of God on your level, and you're like, man, what in the world? Like, God, what are you doing in my life right now? I'm not here, right? I'm not, what? Because he knows all. We are not at the level of genius of God, nor will we ever be. That's why I would contend that growth would never stop in the human body and in the human spirit until death of an earthly form. Because we, at the same time, as merciful and loving as God is, his level of understanding is such that we will never grasp it. So all we can do is open ourselves up to continue to learn more and do the inner workings of what God is showing us to be better and more like him. God of love, right? God of mercy, God of grace, right? Do those words describe us in all the facets of our life? And We celebrate the wins that we have in our spiritual life. We learn from the losses. When we get it wrong, we learn. We don't beat ourselves up, right? We move forward to continue to grow from the interactions to it. If you think about it, right, like Paul's life or Peter's life, right? Peter denied Jesus. Could you imagine the learning curve when Jesus came and found him again, right back where it all started? My man was fishing again. Could you imagine the learning curve that took place there when Jesus came back up to him and accepted him again, just like he did on day one, after he denied him to his face for death? Imagine the learning curve. Most people seek that from us, that when a drastic mistake is made in life, our earthly conditions that we have placed on our own love are not of an unconditional, loving, holy Father. So when those people in our own lives make these incredible mistakes, why does spiritual fitness matter? Because how are you going to love them? Not when it's easy, but when it's hard. How are you going to parent your kid when they come home with 549s and 135 in school, right? And the fact they don't care. What's your spiritual game? What would God the Father do? Leave Peter on the bank? I don't have time. No, don't care. Do what I... Right? Then all of a sudden, it's a whole other level, right? It's inner work. How are you going to come with your partner, spouse, relationship, whatever that may be? They come and tell you something incredibly hard. And oftentimes, we move on from them. Because you don't rate another chance in my life. Man, that sounds like God the Father. Nope. That's the inner work I believe God intends to do on all of us, is when we can be that person, not on the outside, but the inside. That when you speak words, you truly believe them because they came from the Spirit, not because they came from something you read somewhere else or because you want to look a certain way, but in your heart, in your mind, your soul, you believe what you say. What's the most important commandment of all time, right? What did Jesus say? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, your spirit. Love your neighbor the same. All your heart, all your mind, all your spirit. Are they aligned? The inner work must be done because today is a great day to be alive, right? It is a great day to be alive, and God has given you another day to get closer to him. And we're going to come right in to the last part. And as you can see it up on the slide, right, it's really attractive one. The good, the bad, the ugly. Woo! If that ain't a spiritual journey, I don't know what is. The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And if you think about it, like, as he opened this chapter right here, it says, think about it. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons, such teachings through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with an hot iron. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It is not all rainbows and unicorns out here in the earthly world. I mean, my goodness gracious, man. You turn on the news for 0.2 seconds, you can figure that out, right? I mean, wow, where have we gone? And I would contest we are where we are because people aren't doing inner work. They're doing a whole lot of outer work and a whole lot of stance work. I'm standing on this, right? They're not doing what's inside of them. They're following paths built upon other people. And again, allowing that person to dictate life's paths. The good, the bad, the ugly. When it's good, it's easy to have great faith. It's easy for my inside to feel okay. When it's bad, when it's ugly, what's your faith? What's the inner doing? Where I believe you start finding the difference in life, and you can see when you're doing the inner work in your own life, is when the bad and the ugly persist, you're aware, first off, that the bad and the ugly are present. And second off, you realize that all that just went into your decision-making and how you respond to that situation. And third off, and the last one, means that when I respond, I'm responding from the inner work I've done from spiritual health.
And that's how I'm going to attack the day. I believe it through and through, right? What you do through inner work will be who you become long term, no matter what the external appears to other people. What you unlock in yourself is your future. That is fact on your future. And unfortunately, inside, what shows up a lot of times is fear. Do not be afraid 365 times in the Bible. Because something you're going to do on the inside is going to be tough. You may need to talk to somebody and it's hard. You may take a stand because you believe this on the inside is right, of the Holy Spirit, of my time, but it's hard. And people aren't going to view you the same. Today may have given you lemons. You may have lost a job. You may have lost a personal relationship. You may have lost many things. Lost. And we start getting this tally. Lost. It does not matter, because there's only one win that truly matters, is your fitness for life. Because as much as we put into the effort of this earthly realm, it is but a fraction of what we're actually going for. An attainment of a spiritual life with God forever. Do I believe that as easy as I just said it into this microphone? Absolutely not. Do I struggle with it? Absolutely so. Because we love the people around us in earthly form. And love is a universal language that ties us to people. Do we use the same tie of that universal language to our relationship with God? Do we love him the way we love people? And I think that's a challenging question, because not a lot of people want to answer it, right? But do you love God more than you love your spouse? You should. Right? That's what it says. How do you get there? And what I believe you get there, you realize, and the light bulb goes off, I love him more because he is giving me love to love other people. And you start to realize that it was always bigger than you, and it was always bigger than what you could ever show somebody. It was that your spirit loves, is loved, and externally can love. Spiritual fitness is not easy. I think out of all the pillars, emotional, mental, whatever one's in your life, spiritual fitness is the hardest one, because it requires you to open that bad boy all the way up, look inside, and expose some things that are really, really bad and very, very ugly. But the good is that God loves you. And the good is, when you do inner work, you realize people are going to love you too, because you're that open to doing the work. Some may not get it right away, but other wills. And think about this, right? We look at these incredible feats of physical strength, right? Like or physical, you know, guys that are killing 100-mile races, or gals that are running 100-mile races, or, you know, go out and break a world record in this. You know, blah-zy blah. Anybody ever seen the Usain Bolt meme about how long he actually competed for? Anybody ever seen it? Y'all gonna make me Google it. Well, no, I'm not gonna Google it in church. Y'all gonna Google it when you leave here. I want you to Google how long Usain Bolt actually competed for, vice how long he trained for. Right? The beauty of fitness is in the training regimen and never on the actual of when you have to use it. Much like Usain Bolt, right? Usain Bolt would train an entire year to run a 9-second race. Because what I know is, what you do in here all the time will let it be when it hits you in the mouth, and today is terrible. I didn't see that coming. They just did that to me. I just lost my job. I just lost this. I just happened to this. This tragedy just entered my life. This just went down the break where I could simply break down and absolutely be in shambles and in tears and in cry right now. I don't want to deal with it anymore. That's the 9 seconds of your year-long training. When you can put a foot forward and go. That's spiritual fitness. I'm going to close in prayer. Hope today's been a blessed day for you. It's a blessed day for me. It's a good day to be alive. What I challenge you with, as you leave and you look through your spiritual life, don't attain something you don't understand. You don't know what 40 years from now brings. You don't know what 4 minutes brings. Today is a good day to be alive. What work are you doing today? And if you're given tomorrow, God bless it. But if not, I've done the work up until that point, and I'm prepared for the rest of the journey. Because if you can get that into other people, We stop living for fallacy of a theory, and we start living in the moment, and we start becoming humanity again. And we start loving again. Because, hey, I can fix that in a couple weeks. They walk off. You know what? I ain't dealing with that. I'll fix it in a week with that person. Let them feel the pain for a little while. Who said you got a week? Is that what you leave them with? Oh, man, that ain't of God. That's not of the Holy Spirit in you. Live for today. Own the moment. Heavenly Father God, what a time to be alive, Lord. What a time to be in the house with you, God, and just a community of people, Lord, that as we can just lift our spirits to you, may we peel it back, open it up, and do the inner work, Heavenly Father. May we continue to draw closer to you, God. We know you're where your location is, and your hand is always out, Heavenly Father. May we be people who are people of love, people of grace, people of empathy, people of mercy, people of accountability, Lord. May we hold true to all of those things, God. What I pray for is whether they are in this room, whether they are online, Heavenly Father, know they are loved by you and know that you are always there for them, Lord, and that you long for us to peel back the layers to get even closer, God. Much as we view our personal relationships as we get closer, we get intimate, Heavenly Father, may we view our relationship with you the same, God. I pray for a blessing amongst the people today, not a blessing we even understand, Lord, but the feeling that we don't understand that comes alongside of us when you're inside of us, God. I pray that those that may not know you will come to know you, Heavenly Father. I pray those that maybe are a little weak in the fitness game right now become strong in you, God, because we long to do the inner work. Heavenly Father, what I pray for today is just for an outpouring of love from a group of people. And the reason we love is because we are loved, Heavenly Father. There is no strings attached. I love because I'm loved, and that's the end of it. I don't get to pick the next step for that person we interact with today, but I love because I'm loved, and they will feel that energy from you, Heavenly Father. God, I just pray, Lord, for a strength to the people as we are in such times that require such strength, and it is beating us, and it is battered us, and all I can say is good. Because it's a great day to be alive in your name, Heavenly Father. For all these things, we are thankful for, God. Thankful for this worship team that's about to lead us in this last song. May we lift our voice and our soul and our energy to you, Heavenly Father. Just pray for each beautiful person up here, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.